Log Talk Radio.
Good morning, listeners here in the U.S. and from around the globe. Welcome to Season 7, Episode 3 of A Touch of Grace. I think I'll start it off with this. Long before I knew I would need saving, music began stockpiling bandages, soft tissues for my tears, and a shoulder for me to always lean on. I start each day with it, listen to it while I'm driving, and then I also mark eras in time to remember the joys, the pain, happiness, and loss. It has been my ride or die for as long as I can remember. Music, the love of my life. Ladies and gentlemen, Motown, Philadelphia Sound, Stax, Solar, Columbia, Capitol, record labels that produce some of the most timeless recordings in history. They are all a part of a musical tapestry where soulful music legends composed, played music, and sang timeless songs. And Soul Tracks is a digital almanac of past, present, and future artistry. And the mastermind behind it, Chris Rizik, is joining me today on A Touch of Grace. Hey, Chris, welcome.
Hey, Glenn, great to be on with you today.
Hey, I'm glad to have you, Chris. So, you know, we were talking a little bit before the show, and can you hear me okay?
I can hear you great, thanks.
Okay, fantastic. So we're talking a little bit ahead of the show. We've been networking on social media for quite a number of years, and I know that I follow you, and you are always so gracious with your time, but we're going to talk about Soul Tracks because it's an incredible website, and for those of you listening, if you want to browse it while we're talking, it's soultracks.com. So, Chris, can you tell me, where are your humble beginnings? Did you actually grow up in the Michigan area?
Yes, I grew up in Flint, so just a little bit north of Detroit, and then all my adult life has been in Detroit. So I grew up in a house filled with music, in a city filled with music, and, you know, for soul music fans, where I'm at now is sort of the mecca of soul music. And so I don't know anybody in Detroit who doesn't have some kind of music in their background.
Definitely, because that's where Motown. So you were there during the early years of Motown?
Yes, I was up in Flint back then, but mm-hmm. It kind of everything stretched from Detroit to Flint. So I grew up the youngest of seven, and mm-hmm. all my older siblings were completely into Motown. And so that was as far back as I can remember, Motown music was playing in the house.
Definitely, definitely. So you say that there are seven of you, huh?
Yes. Yes.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, some of them are doctors, but from what I remember, all of you guys are pretty accomplished. So what led you to Soul Tracks? And is this more of a side thing that you do? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, it is. So my parents' education was like, my parents were from immigrant families, and education was everything. So, yeah, and among my siblings, there are four lawyers, a doctor, a nurse, and a CPA. So, you know, pretty accomplished folks. And I was actually a sort of a combination. I had an accounting degree, became a CPA, then went back and got a law degree and practiced law, and then I started my own business about 15 years ago. So I stopped practicing law, and I've been in venture capital for 15 years. And Soul Tracks was as much, and we could talk about the whole story, but it was as much to scratch an itch that I had because I had pretty big fundamental decision to make in college, whether I wanted to go into music journalism or get my accounting degree. I got the accounting degree, but I always had the desire to go back and write, and Soul Tracks was kind of the result of that.
I see. So now when you began Soul Tracks, was it just a lone venture, or did you have others who helped you along? Because this website, You guys, I have to tell you, this website is just so vast and incredible.
Yeah, it started off as kind of a lark. The internet was pretty new, and this was the early 2000s, and there's a website called soulmusic.com, run by David Nathan, and at one point he solicited from the readers, hey, if you would like to write an article, particularly a biography of a classic soul group, you know, submit it. And so I wrote one on Tavares and submitted it, and he liked it and posted it. And next thing I knew, I was contacted by what was then XM Radio. They had a soul music station, and the person running it liked my writing and asked me if I wanted to do a show. So kind of out of the blue, and I thank my wife because I was busy and we had four kids and all that. I didn't think I wanted to do this on the side, but she convinced me that I should do it because all I ever talked about was music. And so I did a show on XM briefly, but figured out pretty quickly what I really wanted to do was write about music, and I could do that on my own time. And so I just started writing on weekends or whenever and taught myself how to build a website and just started posting it more for me than anything else. And this was 20 years ago. And I just went and checked one day to see, wow, is anybody actually reading this? And I found that, oh, I had, you know, a few hundred readers. And then I decided, you know, why don't I just take this to the next step? And I knew a little bit about how to get your website found on Google. And anyway, started writing more, and suddenly more and more people were coming. And then at some point I said, you know, I feel like this is something I should really focus a little more time on. So I brought in a bunch of really great writers, many of whom are still with me now, and professionalized the website. And it just kept growing and growing and growing. And, you know, now here we are 20 years later. You know, we get usually a quarter of a million to 300,000 people a month come to Soul Tracks. And we write the biographies that we did back then, that is no longer the centerpiece. Right now it's really breaking new music or writing news stories. Often a lot of what we do is write tributes to artists who have kind of been forgotten or ignored in the modern internet, and try to be cognizant of what our readers care about. Our readers are, you know, mostly people in their 40s and 50s, and bring them music that we think they'll like, help young artists who can't get played on terrestrial radio, help them to have an avenue to reach an audience. And we've become over time sort of like a community of music lovers, and there's a constant sort of back and forth. You know, we post stuff, we get feedback, we post stuff, we get feedback, and hopefully we're doing things that match the interests of our readers. And I'm blessed to have eight or nine really good writers who are with me on the ride, you know, constantly writing one or two new articles a day.
Well, I have to tell you this, Chris. I knew that I'm like, either this man is the Tyler Perry of websites, because, you know, Tyler Perry does everything, or he has some other people diving in and helping. And I've read some of your articles, and they are definitely in-depth and top-notch, polished. And another thing that you do on this website, there are artists that you interact and engage with, because you have these yearly, I guess, you know, who was the best over the year or who the top artist was over the year. So did the artist reach out to you, or do you reach out to them?
So it's a great question. Yes, every year we present the Soul Tracks Awards, the Reader's Choice Awards. And the way it all began was when we started Soul Tracks, what we started seeing was that major media and terrestrial radio were kind of ignoring soul music. And a lot of them had moved to hip-hop or other things. And here we were writing about soul music. There were people like you and others who were creating sort of an alternate radio landscape for soul music artists. And as we started looking through, we said, well, what's missing? What's missing is the equivalent of the Grammys for soul music artists, and particularly independent artists. You know, back when we started it, the major labels still controlled much, much more, and independent artists really weren't getting recognized. So the idea was, let's just create awards. And it's only the only people who are eligible are independent artists. And every year we get nominations from artists or their management or from readers, and we get it down to a reasonable number of nominees in the usual categories, male vocalist, female vocalist, album of the year, et cetera. And then we put it out to our readers. And the winners are chosen exclusively by the votes of our readers. And then we have the awards every December. We actually did a couple of them as live events, which was a blast. More recently, we've done it as sort of an online event. But it's pretty important to the artists. Again, many of these artists, as talented as they are, just don't get recognized by major media, and certainly not by the Grammys. But being able to get exposed to our readers through the awards, and also if an artist is looking to maybe create a small tour, saying you're a Soul Tracks Award nominee or a Soul Tracks winner really helps as they're talking to booking agents, et cetera. You know, it's a bit of a good housekeeping seal that says these are artists who have fans and are of a high quality. So we've been doing the awards for probably 18 years now, and it's kind of the highlight at the end of the year, as you said.
Yeah, it is, and I definitely enjoy it. I've actually voted a few times on it when I actually remember to actually do it. But I'm looking at these headers, like you have news, you have album reviews, you have Fresh Soul playlist, you have upcoming albums, and then, of course, you have the artists and their biographies. And like I said, it's a really in-depth website. And so I was going to ask you the question about if you've ever done anything live. And so your live event, when you were doing them, where were they held at?
They were held in Detroit, downtown Detroit. And we had artists coming from all over the country. It was a big party. Artists who don't see each other that often, this became a gathering place for them to come. And we had live performances during it. And those fans, mostly from the Detroit area, would come in. And, you know, it was really a nice event. I just didn't have time to continue. To be honest, I didn't have time to continue to do a live show. That takes a talent that I don't have.
That's like an event planning thing. So when you were doing them, so were you hands-on planning the event, writing out how it was going to go? Were your hands in it like that?
I was involved, but I had other folks who helped me for sure. And the events went off really, really well. But in the end, it just made more sense from a time standpoint to focus on doing things online. I sleep a lot better in December with an online one than I did when we were trying to put out a show. Again, that's a special talent, man.
Yeah, especially when you're talking about all that snow. One of my good friends, her daughter is in the event planning thing in the industry right now. I can't believe she was a little girl and now she's out there hobnobbing with, you know, artists in the field of entertainment. So there was something else that I was going to ask you about the artists. Now, and you might have answered this question, and I hope I'm not double asking you questions, but you said that the artists actually reach out to you, or their managers reach out to you?
Oh, yes. I mean, that's a regular thing. We get, we write, as I said, typically we run one or two stories a day on Soul Tracks, but we get, on average, I'd say about 40 submissions a day from artists. The artists or their managers or publicists sending new songs. So we get all these submissions, we screen the songs and decide what fits our format and what we really like, and then from that we whittle it down, you know, to a couple each day where we do what we call a first listen story, because for most of our readers, us posting it will be the first time they've heard this song. And, you know, again, I'm blessed to have a music editor named Melody Charles who helps me. And between the two of us, we screen all the music that comes in. And then once we've whittled it down to the ones we're going to write about, then it goes off to either one of us will write it, or more likely we'll send it off to one of our writers. And it just keeps it fresh. You know, part of, I guess, the longevity of Soul Tracks is, like anything else, you know, it's being back every day. It's keeping it fresh and keeping something new. And there really isn't a day that we don't have something new on the site to share with readers. And since we started Soul Tracks, honestly, there's probably been 50 or 60 soul music websites. And those that have stayed are those where, you know, those are just keeping it fresh. And hopefully, you know, we're viewed as keeping it fresh by having new content for our readers every day. And in large part, content that there's just nobody else in the world who will cover. You know, I hate to talk about an obituary, but we posted an obituary last night of a gentleman, Everett Collins, who used to be a drummer for the Isley Brothers and lived a really interesting life. You know, after he got out of the business, he became a music teacher in the schools in Virginia. And it's a really interesting, brief story and a tribute to him, because he passed. There's nobody else in the world who's going to write that story but us. But it means something to the fans who loved him all those years, and particularly to the family. I mean, he deserved to be written about, but we're the natural place to do it.
I definitely get it. And as a music lover myself and a music lover of just the true artistry of music writing and the whole instrumentation process and the people behind the scenes that don't necessarily get the spotlight and the attention, you know, I am grateful for people like you, and I guess that's why I really liked you so much, is because I know you share, like, your anniversaries with your wife. You are very active on Facebook, which, you know, Facebook is many things, but the core of it is what good people like you and I and others that we know and interact with, you know, love about it, because it keeps us up to date with what's going on, and we get a chance to meet people that we may not get a chance to see, you know, live. And speaking of which, about Everett Collins, you know, Frankie Beverly is in his, I guess this is his farewell tour. I heard him talking on a talk show, and his voice is really hoarse. And I see that you have something written about him as well. So as our artists that we grew up with start aging out, what are your hopes for the new artists that are coming on scene now?
Yeah. When we started writing Soul Tracks, you know, 20 years ago, it was a whole different scene. And a lot of those artists, like a Frankie Beverly, were still quite active and even recording. But what we saw was there was a generation of listeners who saw their, you know, they had their artists that they really liked. But as those artists became less active, these fans ended up becoming fans of oldies, you know, of music that had been recorded 10 and 15 and 20 years earlier. They weren't keeping up on modern music, and radio wasn't helping them out, because radio was focused on hip-hop or pop or something else. Mm-hmm. And so one of our goals early on with Soul Tracks was, let's take the fans of Frankie Beverly or of the Temptations or whomever and introduce them to younger artists who have a lot of those same sensibilities but who aren't going to get played on terrestrial radio. Let's become the bridge that connects those younger artists with fans of soul music. And so, younger artists like Eric Roberson, or at the time it was Angela Johnson or Kanye Doss, who had small followings but had a style and a talent that we thought should appeal to these fans who, maybe were only fans of artists 20 years older than that. The goal was for us to be a bridge to introduce those fans of the classic R&B artists to the next generation of artists, almost all of whom were independent, in the hopes that it allowed these fans to stay current, to have new music constantly in their lives that they would enjoy, to be able to go to shows of younger artists that they enjoyed. And that really became central to Soul Trax. We're not an oldies site. We certainly pay tribute to classic soul artists, but the constant push is introduce fans to younger artists who have a lot of those same sensibilities and who are really talented that they're not going to hear at anyplace else.
Definitely. And there are a couple of artists I got a chance to interview that I actually found out through Soul Trax. And one of them was Darian Dean. He had that incredible album, If These Walls Could Talk. And then Heston Francis, who had Storyteller.
Right.
And he's going to be on the show. I believe he's going to be on next week. But I appreciate it because I like the idea that you are building a bridge for a quality and a type of music that actually seems to get ignored in the mainstream. Because I have to tell you, Chris, I was an avid lover of the American Music Award and the Grammy shows, but I don't watch them anymore because it's just so dominated by mainstream pop and hip hop. And it's not that I don't have an appreciation for that type of music, but sometimes I long for the days when you could tune in and there would be this variety of music. And on that same note too, when you're talking about the smaller venues for these artists that are kind of continuing on with the R&B type concept, the tickets for these shows, Seal is going to be here in May. So I'm looking at the ticket prices, and they're like, the low price is like $250. Now, Chris,
yeah,
maybe you've got, daddy long, pockets, though. Glenn does not, I don't.
Yeah.
And then Daryl Hall is going to be there. But these shows, these ticket prices are, they're just too much for me, too much for the kid.
For sure. Yeah, and you're right. A lot of these independent artists, it's a lot more reasonable to get their shows and smaller, more intimate venues. They tend to be a lot of fun to go to.
Exactly, and not the chaos and everything. So so for any new artists that might be listening, do they go to Soul Trax to maybe try to get a submission on to Soul Trax? Is that how they get in touch with you?
Yeah, the best thing I would say is just email us at info@soultrax.com. And as I say, we get about 40 a day there. And we listen to everything that comes in and at least give it a listening and tell folks either it's a fit or it's not a fit. Certainly a lot of songs we get are stylistically not a fit for us because, they're just a different genre. But everything gets checked out. That comes in. So yes, that's the best way for an artist to reach out to us. And I believe when we do write about an artist, they get heard. They get heard by a loyal, pretty active music fan base. It's something you said in the intro. We have an active fan base where music plays a role in every part of their lives. And you could ask them about any event from positive to negative, and they can tell you what they were listening to then. And that's the kind of readership that we have, really dedicated music fans who are open to new music, are opinionated about music, but music just plays such an important role in their lives.
You're absolutely right. And I just have a question off the mark a little bit because, you know, I can't, you know, you are somewhat of a chameleon, Chris. So I saw pictures of you with this huge afro, or was that your brother? And I'm thinking,
that was me.
And I'm thinking, so did you have the bell bottoms, the platforms and everything back in the day? And what is your nationality?
Yeah, I had all of that back in the day. So I'm actually Lebanese. Yeah, I had the big afro and the bell bottoms and the platform shoes and the silky, the fake silk shirts, the whole thing.
I just love it. Well, I got to tell you this. Well, I'm not going to drag this on, but first and foremost, I want to thank you for the positive energy that you are putting out to the universe because, Chris, the world has gotten pretty crazy lately, and I, as one, appreciate good people like you and your family and what you're bringing to everybody out here because we just need it. And, you know, I always love looking through Soul Tracks, and you are welcome here anytime. If you got anybody that's interested in being on the show, you just, you know, shoot an email to me, and I'm here at your beck and call.
Well, thanks so much, Glenn, and congratulations on the new season of the podcast and on the book coming. So,
yeah,
man. Congrats on all
Thank
that.
You. Well, hey, man, I appreciate it, and God bless you and your beautiful family, and I'll be seeing you in Cyberland, my friend.
That sounds great. Take care.
All right, you too. You take care. All right, everybody, that was an incredible guy by the name of Chris Rizik. And he has the incredible website. And as you could, if you've been listening to the podcast, you could see that he is bridging the gap between the old and the new. Many of the artists on this website they're just incredible. Like I said, I've a fan of Darian Dean, who I met on the website and actually had him on the show a few seasons ago, and Heston Francis. I mean, phenomenal talent. So I am just grateful for people like Chris and for their kindness and generosity. So, and speaking of the next shows, next week on the 18th, Heston Francis, who I was just talking about, is going to talk about music and art. He is a phenomenal painter. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we have the diva extraordinaire, Mary Edwards, who, my God, this woman has been to Iceland. She's into mood music, and she's worked with some artists like one of my favorites, Swing Out Sister, and others. So I can't wait to catch up with Mary. She had sent me a couple of her CDs a few years back, and like Chris, who I just spoke to, we've always remained in touch over the years. So I'm really looking forward to that. And, you know, as this show winds down today, I'm going to say this. And first of all, I'm going to say, I know that the first show was heard all around the world, you know, Africa and Asia and other parts of the world. I myself am, you know, even though this is my seventh season, I am getting used to being in front of the mic again. And I just want to thank you for your patience with me as the quality improves on my show, as it grows, that I couldn't do it without you guys. And many of you are silent observers, and I appreciate you. You know, I know that you're there because I feel your energy. And I'm going to close on this note. True friends are those rare people who come to find you in dark places and lead you back to the light. Let that resonate with you guys for just a moment. I'm all teary-eyed with that because these past few years have been pretty challenging. But the common thread in all of it is that I've got really some really good people around me. And sometimes that's all you need. All right. So anyway, looking forward to the next couple of shows for the artists that have requested to be on the show. Don't worry. I haven't forgotten about you. I'm going to start spitting out some dates soon. But in the meantime, preventative health care, I cannot emphasize this enough. take care of yourself, you don't know what's going on the inside. You got to get your blood work done, and especially as you get older. And also cherish those around you. Tomorrow's not promised, you know, and once that day is done, you can't go back, you know. All right, well, I love you. Thanks for listening, and you take care. God bless.